Well, following the death of Tyre Nichols, the brutal beating of Tyre Nichols by five police officers in Memphis, it has resumed the calls for police reform talks in Lansing. A 12-page bill that was introduced last year on the heels of the Patrick Lioia death in Grand Rapids included banning no-knock warrants, chokeholds, establishing new procedures for investigating misconduct incidents, and allowing an officer's license to be revoked if it's determined they use excessive force. In this case, legislative Black Caucus in Michigan, in Lansing, wants to see this bill back in front of legislators because it wasn't voted on in the Lioia case in Grand Rapids. Chris Ronson is the Genesee County Sheriff. He joins us to talk about this. Sheriff, I saw your Facebook post following the Tyre Nichols, the release of the video. And I want to start with you just getting a reaction to what you saw in that police footage.
Disgusting. And when you see people that wear the same uniform that I've wore for 30 years and they act that way and they have a mindset and a culture that is different than what policing is for, it's disgusting and dishonorable.
How damaging is it? Because I know you have done a lot of work in the community to try to build relationships, much like we've seen James White in Detroit, Mike Bouchard in Oakland County, building those relationships in the community so they know that you're there for the reason you're there to protect them. You're there to protect the community. When something like this happens, how damaging is that? Is that trust broken? Does it take a hit? Where do you stand with your community after something like this, do you think?
So you said something when you set this up and you made the comment that folks in Lansing want to resume talks. My question is, why did we stop talking about it? And why is this not a priority among police across not only the state of Michigan, but in the nation? You can't wait for another death to keep building relationships and building public trust. Public trust is very difficult to build and easy to lose. So to your point, the reasons we deploy into the streets of Flint and Genesee County on a daily basis to protect, serve, and unify, because we want to keep from these things happening, not reacting when they do. And so that trust is action-based. I love what Amos O'Neill said when you quoted, he said, there's enough lip service, let's take action. And action, I'm going to tell you, is just not making arrests. And the word that I use to my staff is we create a culture of police evolution. We just don't treat symptoms. We fix the problems. And you have to, as a leader, police chief or sheriff, you have to make sure that the culture that you're exampling within your agency is exactly that. There's a time to protect, there's a time to serve, and there's a time to unify. And it's every single day.
Do you feel like this bill package, this 12-page bill package, would address the issues that many perceive that exist in policing, or do you feel like it's a Band-Aid? What do you think of this legislation?
Well, first of all, I'd stand with Amos O'Neill shoulder to shoulder and testify in support of evolution when it comes to law enforcement. Many times police see that any change is a negative. I don't. That's why I refer to it as police evolution. We have to evolve as a profession that allows us to do our job better today than we did yesterday. So when you look at the bills that they're talking about, no-knock warrants, why anybody's doing no-knock warrants in America today is beyond my comprehension. There's a process and a procedure to do it. We know it's dangerous. That's why we do what we do. When it comes to the search warrants that we do in Genesee County, I've done over 100 of them last year alone. We have a fully marked police car with lights and sirens. We announce what we're doing. We announced, I talked to Breonna Taylor's sister just 2 days ago, and we saw what happened there. Mm-hmm. So no-knock warrants, there's no place in them. Chokeholds, that's deadly force. That's deadly force. That need to be seen as deadly force. Chokeholds are not part of the force continuum to get compliance. We have other means to do it. We have pepper spray. We have tasers. We have a force continuum. But chokeholds are not to be used for compliance. That is deadly force. And I think the other big thing is, of course, if you can't train out, discipline out a bad cop, you need to cut it out. And they shouldn't be cop shopping around Michigan, around the country, because their buddy or somebody works in this agency. Dirty cops, police officers that are heavy-handed, that got a history of excessive force, have no business in law enforcement.
How do you identify those types of people? How do you identify what you mentioned, quote unquote, bad cops? How do you identify those types of people?
That's a great question. I'm going to tell you this. Listen to the people. Listen to the people on the street. When we do operations, now I'd say an example in Flint, I took over 4.8 miles of patrol in downtown Flint on July the 1st. And it's a philosophy that we have called Operation Arrowhead. These officers are five chosen veteran officers that are diverse in gender and race, that have a history of dealing with the public in a positive way. I know this because we don't get police complaints. They work well with the community. We talk to the community. They still arrest people, but they do it with professionalism. And police chiefs and, of course, sheriffs, we need to listen to the community. We know at this level, I'm going on, as I said, 31 years. I know when I see somebody who has a bad attitude. I know if somebody tries to get a shot in when something's not right. Like, we see that. You ask anybody in command, they know the people in their office that are rude to people, that are short-tempered, people have a chip on their shoulder. That's the culture that's got to start from the top down. There are great cops out of there that are being tarnished by the bad acts of a few. Get those few out of there, and that's the answer to your question. We know it, and when you see it, identify it and take care of it. Train it out, discipline it out, or cut it out.
What did you make of the job that the police department in Memphis did following this? Do you think they followed the appropriate measures? What was your reaction to that?
So this happened on January the 7th. He passed away on January the 10th. As you know, the video was released last Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't have the privilege to know what happened and transpired there, but I will tell you this. If this was in my agency, because we have cameras like everybody else, and we saw that there was a death within our custody, there's a proper procedure. If there's video, that is the number one best evidence that you can go through. Show the video. That video, just like when George Floyd was murdered, you don't need any more supplements to tell me what happened. So I don't know the timing that things happened, but I will tell you that if it happened in Genesee County Sheriff's Office, I would have seen the video, and those five cops would have been arrested that night.
I imagine it's a precarious spot to be in, because, you know, you, I know in particular, have done a lot in Genesee County just to build those relationships.
Right.
So have you talked to people in the community about this? Have you tried to reassure them that this kind of thing won't happen here?
And that's important, is to be proactive on letting the community know that this is not who we are. It's not what we stand for. You mentioned the history that we've had. You know, on May 30th, 2020, in Flint, we were expected to burn. But we had a protest that turned, and it could have gone violent quick, but we chose a different path. When I asked what they needed, they said, walk with us. We walked. That was one of 40 protests in 2020. We didn't have a single arrest, not a single glass broke, not a single riot, not a single business looted. And those messages have not stopped. If you could see the track record, and it's inclusive with all of my law enforcement partners, I'm not the only one out there, but I've taken the lead to make sure that they can at least see that I'm doing everything. When something like this happens, I don't take the position that I have to be prompted to tell people where I stand and what they can expect from their sheriff and their police agency. That's why I put out the post, and that's what you referred to let people know this is where I stand, because you're right, there is a concern of the blue wall and the protection, but good cops love good cops. Good cops don't like bad cops. But in addition to that, I meet with my command staff. I met with all my lieutenants and captains yesterday. I explained to them, this is how we operate here, and affirm that this is our culture. And on top of that, I have ambassadors. I have two returning citizens that I hired full time, John L. Allen and Percy Glover. And these guys are ambassadors between me and the community. They're African-Americans, and we built a great relationship. They go into the communities and we talk to people. You have to be intentional, because people are scared and they want to know if I'm driving down the road, or if my son's driving, if my 29-year-old father of a 4-year-old's driving down the city of Flint, Do I expect the same thing from the sheriff's office? And the answer is no. And the only way they're going to know that is for me to tell them.
Mm. Well, it's a tragic situation.
Yes, it is.
But we appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this. Chris Swanson, thank you.
Appreciate you.
Yep, there he is, Chris Swanson, the sheriff of Genesee County. Got to take a break. More next on the Guy Gordon.